Happy New Year, everyone. We hope 2018 is a great one for all of our listeners with lots of health, happiness, love, and success ahead. Welcome to episode 55 of Forever 39. I'm Annette and she's Megan.
Hey!
There's a few ways you can connect with us. Follow us on Twitter at Forever39NJ. You can also like us on Facebook via the New Jersey 101.5 page. And if you have any topics you want us to cover, we'd love to hear from you guys. So please email them at Forever39@NJ1015.com. And to get our podcast, you can subscribe via the New Jersey 101.5 app, iTunes, or Google Play. And you guys probably noticed that we actually changed the intro music for this episode. Figure we'll do new intro music since it's a new year.
Yay!
So coming up in this episode, we're going to talk about wedding trends in 2018. And we're going to look back on 2017 and tell you guys what we learned and what we're hoping for in the new year. But first, we're going to talk about divorce. I know not a great topic to kick off the new year, but here's the thing. January is known as Divorce Month, according to eDivorcePapers.com. It's the most popular time of the year for divorce filings, and the fun doesn't stop in January. The filings actually keep coming until about March when they hit a peak. So when you think about it, I guess it makes sense because most people aren't going to file over the holidays. And I think they're probably motivated by the fact that it's a new year, fresh start, the whole sort of thing. But obviously, deciding to go through with the big D is a big deal. So joining us today is attorney Jennifer Milner. She's a partner with Fox Rothschild in their Princeton office. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I know this is kind of a not so great topic to kick off the new year, but it is a reality for some couples in New Jersey. So let's talk about divorce. How long have you been practicing family law, just to give our audience an idea as to your background?
Wow, that's close to asking me about my age. I thought it was interesting that I'm on this podcast because I have anniversaries of my 39th birthday.
And we understand.
I've been doing this in New Jersey for about 30 years.
It's great to give the audience some context because the next question I was going to ask you is, do you see more divorces during the month of January, or is this sort of divorce month just a myth?
It's not a myth at all. There are actually two times during the year that we see a significant uptick in divorces. The first is January and actually the beginning of February. Once those Christmas and holiday bills start coming in the mail, that's another trigger. So the beginning of the year is one. And then we also sometimes see an increase in September when the kids go back to school.
So you mentioned that the bills are a trigger. That was one of the questions that Megan and I were wondering about. What is behind most divorces? Why do people get divorced that you have found in your 30 years? Like, what's the number one reason?
The number one reason, or at least really far up on the list, is definitely financial problems. And over the course of time where we've had the Great Recession or we've had other financial crises, we've definitely seen a very significant increase in divorces. Other times you have somebody who might come in with an issue of infidelity, but unless you're dealing with somebody who's like a serial cheater, very often somebody is experiencing that wandering personality in order to escape another problem, which is often finances.
Oh, that's really interesting. So can I ask you this? Over your, you said 30-year career, do you find it's always been finance that's always been the lead reason? Or has it changed over time? Would you say it was different when you started and now it's finance?
What I would say is that finances is always one of the majority of the cases people will come in and the root of their problems is very often finances. There are definitely times where it is more often than not. People get divorced for so many different reasons. Very often it comes down to a lack of ability to communicate with each other to solve problems. And when there's a loss of a job or there is some event in people's lives that makes it difficult financially, people just can't seem to make their way through. The other issue that sometimes is towards the top of the list is when you have families that have children with special needs or special circumstances. It's really every very stressful situation that you can think of in anybody's life when you've got two people trying to deal with that same stressful situation, and sometimes they're just not on the same page and can't get back on that same page.
Yeah, and I think it's true that when you're in a stressful situation, you tend to take out your frustration about that situation to the person that you love the most and is closest to you.
You're absolutely right.
So what does the average divorce cost in New Jersey? And I realize that that's kind of an open-ended question and that every case is different. But on average, what are we looking at? And then also, how long does it take from start to finish for most couples?
So I really have to tell you, when you think about it, there are so many different situations when you have a divorce. And since all divorces are different, there's really no way to give you an average cost. And by way of example, if let's say a couple has a house, two cars that are paid off, little debt other than their mortgage, a savings account, and they're each two W-2 employees, and they earn about the same amount of money. Well, that type of a divorce is going to be a relatively simple, straightforward situation that's going to be over probably in just a few months and not cost a significant amount of money, comparatively speaking. On the other hand, let's say we have a situation where one of the spouses owns their own business or is otherwise self-employed, and they own a house down at the Jersey Shore in addition to the marital home. Well, then it becomes potentially far more complicated, especially if you have one person who earns significantly more than the other and you've got spousal support in the mix, and say you have some custody issues. Well, that's a situation that could take a couple of years and could be tens and thousands of dollars. So it's very difficult to answer that question. What I can tell you as far as the time, however, is that the AOC guidelines, Administrative Office of the Courts, the goal is to get a divorce that is filed in the court system finished within 12 months.
Okay.
I say that. On the other hand, every county in the state is experiencing a backlog, some more than others. And that also assumes that you're going to travel your way through the court system, and there are lots of different ways to get to the end, and there's lots of different types of ways to resolve your disputes that people should really keep in mind. There's mediation, there's arbitration, there's collaborative law, and all of these methods try to get the two parties to resolve their differences out of court. Last court year, the AOC, the Administrative Office of the Courts, report, and the court year runs, by the way, from July 2016 to June 2017. That's the last one we have statistics for. 27,341 new divorce cases were filed in New Jersey.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. So ideally, it would be best to not go before the court if you can avoid it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because what that comes down to is about 500 cases per judge.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to all the other things that judges are tasked with dealing with in family court. They have to deal with the, you know, abused and neglected children. They have to deal with domestic violence situations. And they have to deal with people who are coming in to reopen their cases for a multitude of reasons. So when you've got a judge who's got 500 cases on his or her desk, it really doesn't matter how well-intentioned they are and how much attention they want to give you. There's just only so much time any human being has.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can I ask you a quick question? This has always been curious to me. When you are getting divorced and sometimes people get spousal support, when does that kick in the state of New Jersey? Like if you're married 5 years, if you're married 10 years, if you're married 15, how does that work in our state?
Well, New Jersey is not like some states that have very strict guidelines. Some states will say if you were married for 5 years, you're going to get X percentage of the other person's income. We don't do that. We have guidelines that are really factually based. So a judge is always able to make a determination as to spousal support given the facts and circumstances that exist in that case.
Oh, okay.
Now, having said that, typically you're not going to have a situation where people are married for 5 years and there's spousal support for 10 years. But on the other hand, the judges do have the opportunity to fit the spousal support to the situation. Because as you can imagine, again, using the example, if somebody has a special needs child at home and there's no way that the stay-at-home parent could ever go back to work, or it's very unlikely, well, that person's going to need some help. On the other hand, if you have a situation where the couple didn't have any children, there's no health issues or no circumstances that would prevent both people from going back to work, that's going to end up having a different situation.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's almost done in a more fair way. Like, we look at it on a case-by-case basis. So, Jennifer, let me ask you, for those couples thinking about getting a divorce, what is it that they need to keep in mind? Like, what should they be doing to prepare? I realize that's a pretty broad question, but, you know, if someone comes to you and says, oh, you know, I think it's time for me to really consider this. We've tried counseling. We've done this. We've done that. It's just not working any longer. I don't think I'm in love with him anymore. You know, I want to go our separate ways. What is it that they need to sort of be thinking about and doing?
Okay. So there are really three things that I always like to say to people. The first, you've actually four things, but you've actually just talked about the first one. I always ask a prospective client, have you gone to counseling? And as we talked about before, you have stressful situations. If there's a specific event that's causing stress in a marriage, I always try to suggest to people that they think about whether or not counseling would be appropriate and really make sure that the marriage is over. That having been said, information is king. The more information somebody can find out about their finances, their assets, their debts, the easier it is for their lawyer to help them. And also, the more you know about where your accounts are, what institution might have your spouse's 401k or pension, it just makes it easier for the lawyer to know where to look for that information, which will affect your case. So that's what I always tell my clients to look for. If they have access and can find out generally what their monthly expenses are and what their spouse earns, if they file joint tax returns, if they can get me copies of those, that contains an incredible amount of information that will help me give some estimates or give an idea of what they can expect in the process. The second thing that I say is never, never, never put anything in writing, and that includes a text or an email, that you don't want to be seen by either your grandmother or a judge.
Does that, now, I have a question, does that start, like, basically from the divorce filing on, or like, could they go back before you went ahead and filed for divorce and said, well, you know, 2 months before you filed for divorce, you threatened to kill me or something like that? Like, can that stuff be admissible in court?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And what happens is, once people have started a divorce, they put on their best self.
Oh, yeah.
Self,
oh, of
right?
course. Yes.
And so, but really, and this kind of goes into my second piece, is that never, never, never put yourself in a position that somebody else is going to be able to post something on social media that you don't want to be seen by your grandmother or a judge. Because somebody's going to hold themselves out to be one type of individual. And when their spouse is able to come back with 17 Facebook posts saying something completely different, and you're laughing, but trust me, it happens.
I'm sure.
All the time.
Oh my goodness.
And just by way of one example, many years ago, I represented somebody who had a new person in his life, and there was a huge custody battle. And my client's spouse was claiming that the new significant other was a smoker. And my client promised me that was not true at all. And sure enough, I get a package which includes a stack of Facebook, and actually back then it was MySpace.
MySpace. We're going way back.
Yeah, I told you I've had anniversaries of my 39th birthday. But had a stack of photos from MySpace with this girl holding a cigarette.
Yeah,
that's great evidence
intimidating.
If you need it. Yes.
The internet never dies.
No, and it doesn't lie either at times.
Right. And it gets taken out of context. But it's very hard when you have a photo which seems to be illustrating something. It's very hard to explain it. And then the only other thing that I would say is to try the very best that you can. And I won't say never, because it does happen. But I always ask parents to try their very, very best not to say anything negative about the other parent in front of the kids. Because no matter what horrible thing that other parent has done, their children still love their parents.
Have you ever had a case that was just really heartbreaking to you, where maybe the couple in front of you, you just sort of thought, oh my gosh, it's like really too bad they can't work this out. They do seem to have like a genuine love, but for whatever reason, things got in the way. Like, have you ever had a case where you felt like this almost wasn't the right thing for them, but that they were just so beyond it, and that, you know what I mean? Like,
or
I just
that
wonder
it came
about
back
that.
And they saved it.
And they saved it, right. And they decided not to go through with it.
Well, I have had plenty of cases where somebody will come and meet with me. And as I said before, one of the first questions I ask is that, is there any chance, you know, have you thought of counseling? Do you think perhaps you really want to be here? Because you get a sense of people. When people come in and talk to you, you get a sense of where they are emotionally in the process. And particularly if there's a singular event that has caused a problem, I certainly think that there are times where people will go to counseling and really try to work it out. I will tell you, about 15 years ago, I was in the courthouse. We settled a case. I was in the courthouse for the final divorce, and I did ask my client to promise me that she would invite me to the wedding when they got back.
No way. And did they get married?
I don't know. But
wow.
I literally, you know, there are times where clients have told me that when they were walking down the aisle, they were thinking, I shouldn't do this. Shouldn't
oh, my
do
gosh.
This. This was one of these situations where I was walking into the courtroom saying, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this.
Wow. I bet you deal with a lot of people, though, where you almost say to yourself, like, I have no idea how these two got together. Because I see that. I think we see that in our lives and relationships that we know of, where we're like, I don't see how these two fit, you know? Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this is the last question, and you've been fantastic and given our audience so much great information. New Jersey is known, you know, for a little bit of quirkiness here and there, and some like kind of weird laws at times. Is there anything quirky about divorce in New Jersey that's sort of unique to New Jersey only?
We are not unique in the sense that there's a law that New Jersey is the only state that has it. In, you know, we border both Pennsylvania and New York. New Jersey generally mandates parents to contribute towards their children's college education. Pennsylvania does not. So a lot of times people will be trying to make sure their divorces either occur in Pennsylvania or in New Jersey because of that.
Wow.
When people separate, sometimes a parent will come across the river to New Jersey. Sometimes a parent will go across the river to Pennsylvania. So that's definitely one difference. New Jersey has, while not necessarily unique, New Jersey has generally been known in many areas of the law, but particularly in family law and divorce law, to be progressive. And so very often New Jersey will be a leader in the law on certain areas, but we're special, but we're not that unique.
That's good to know, though, that we're progressive when it comes to family law. So, well, Jennifer, we really appreciate your time today. We'd love to have you back on in the future. I think this is something that sadly a lot of couples do deal with, and you, of course, know that yourself. But thanks so much for giving us some of your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun speaking to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good rest of the day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So, Annette, instead of doing a normal like year-end countdown, whatever, I thought we could start our new year with a look back at 2017 and how it changed us.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep, I like it.
So there are a lot of things, I think. Annette and I, our show is called Forever 39, but we're both in our 40s now. Early 40s, but 40s nonetheless. And I do feel like each year of my 40s has probably been different than any other decade in my life. Every year I feel like I learn more. I feel like my 40th year and now in our 41st year, Annette. Okay, so I guess I'll just get right to it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, all right. I have a like list form.
Oh, so. Yeah, I didn't do list form, but that's okay. I can talk about what I learned in 2017.
Okay, well, I don't know about you, but I am learning to care less about what people think about me.
Sure.
Which is so cliche, but it is true. However, I still have that need for people to like me. I don't care what they think of me, but I still want them to think I'm nice. Like, does that make sense?
No, and we've talked about that before. Like, I have such a hard time with that. Like, I want to be known as the nice girl.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, it's getting better. And if someone doesn't like me, I think, wow, you're really loose now because I am pretty great.
I am fabulous.
Fabulous.
But I agree with you. Like, I do think that the one wonderful thing about age is the fact that you do learn to let certain things go. And it's okay if person A doesn't like me. Right. It really is. And we have talked about this before. Like when I was younger, I would be doing cartwheels down the hallway to try to get them to like me. But now I can just rest easy and say, okay, that's okay that they don't like me, something about my personality, whatever it is,
right?
That's okay.
And you know what? Now I take a different look on it. Like I actually don't like person A. So it's fine that person A doesn't like me.
You could turn it around.
I didn't have that before.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? I think no one knows the answers. I think we're all trying the best that we can.
Yeah.
And I think adults, we're just kind of winging it, maybe with a little more experience than kids around us. I'm really happy with the fact that I am brutally honest with people. I will never lie to you. Mm-hmm. I've never been a liar. I couldn't keep track of them if I tried. And I still like that even now, that's just something I'm even kind of dug in a little more on.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's so important to have someone in your life that's going to be honest with you.
Sure.
And tell you things you need to hear. Do you want to take over some things? I feel like
I think the thing that I learned most, there's like three things in 2017 that were my lessons. Okay. The first is that I learned how to get better about not taking it all on. And what I mean by that is, you guys who listen regularly know I do volunteer work on the side and I lead the fundraising team for Easel, which is an animal shelter in Ewing Township. And I used to feel like when someone would come to me with a suggestion and that they then didn't follow that with, okay, but I'm going to like take the ball and roll with it. I felt like I had to
take the ball and roll with it.
Do it.
Yeah.
And now I've gotten to a place where I feel comfortable saying to them, I think that's an awesome suggestion. If you want to go ahead and execute it, go ahead. But I'm comfortable now saying I can't because I have project A through Z on my plate that I need to execute. So I can't take on this. And that's really allowed me to have more freedom to enjoy my volunteer work and also to not feel stressed out about all of these other things. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, and I know we spoke about my whole, like, I'm not, during 2017, I couldn't purchase.
Yes.
So I made it the whole year. I'm so happy.
Congratulations.
I made it the whole year without purchasing a stitch of clothing, any sort of jewelry or any handbags. And I realized that those things became a lot less important to me. I won't deny that jewelry is still an issue. I want every single thing I see. Not real jewelry, just, you know, crappy jewelry. But handbags, I really don't seem to care for anymore. Like I'm kind of like, eh, whatever. And clothing, although yes, I do love the handbag that you have in the studio. But I don't like desire it as much. And so it I think it's good that it sort of taught me like, okay, you can do something like this. You can go a whole year. And I realize this is very shallow and minor.
It's not.
Like this isn't
it's
like,
not.
But you know, to be able to go a whole year and not purchase these things that I at one point desired is huge for me.
Right. If everyone put that in their life to whatever that is for them. For
sure.
You, it's, say, purses and clothes. Think about that in your own life. If you took that away for a year, that's a huge thing. It's not shallow at all.
Yeah, And then the last thing is the month of December was a bit of a challenging month for some of my loved ones who had some really scary health scares. My friend Mike, he had a heart attack, and my aunt, who I'm very close with, had a stroke, and she's still trying to recover now. And it really hit me hard, both of them. Mike in particular, because we're similar in age, mm-hmm. we're similar in body weight, and we're similar in bad habits. And my aunt also, because she is a woman who is almost 80, super independent, drives, lives alone, and literally 1 minute she is doing all of those things, and the next minute she's not capable of doing any of them. So it made me realize, oh my gosh, like just how important it is to get better about being healthier. And I realize like certain things you can't prevent. Right. I mean, my aunt's super healthy, but the strokes just happen. But I can certainly do a better job of trying to prevent a heart attack. So one of the things that I really need to focus on in this year is to really try to get my health in order. I absolutely have to do that for myself. And I'm just going to take it, you know, one day at a time and not try to focus so much on being like, all right, I'm going to lose, you know, 60 pounds in the first 4 months. Like, I'm just going to take it one day at a time and just try really hard to make better choices.
Yes.
And try to change my mentality. My mentality about food is really messed up. I'm sure there's some of you that have dealt with this, but my mentality is like, well, if I have one bad thing that I'm not supposed to have, then screw it. I'm just going to like blow the whole day. So I'm really going to work hard to change that. Mm-hmm. I think if I do have a bad thing, actually, I'm going to try not to look at food in that light. Like nothing is bad. It's all food. Just deal with it. But if I have something that's not really considered dietetic, I'm going to try to not then blow the whole day and then blow the whole week and start again on Sunday, which is my pattern, which is why I have such a hard time losing weight, because we just do this cycle over and over again.
Right. Well, so that's very honest.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. So I'm hoping for the best, but I just know that I can't keep going down this road.
Right. And you know what? It's every time it's a choice, Annette. So if you choose a cookie this time, maybe next time you'll choose an apple. Just take it one thing at a time, and then it's not going to be so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like
and
said.
I think that's it. You feel like I have a long journey.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to this weight overnight. And I'm not going to get whatever the ideal weight is overnight either.
It's a constant battle, honestly, for everybody. Yeah. It really is.
The older I've gotten, I've let go of this sort of what my ideal body weight is. Like, I don't think I'll ever be skinny. I just don't think that's in the cards for me.
Right.
And I'm okay with that, but I can't be where I'm at.
Right.
So I need to at least be in a healthier spot. And if that means I'm 200 pounds or 180 pounds, then that's what it means. Like, I don't ever think I'm going to really be where I should be on the chart. And for me, the chart would be like 130. I don't think that's happening.
And I don't know that anybody is on the chart. I think those charts are so wrong and skewed and incorrect for what real health means.
Right.
And I've come to the same conclusion. I mean, I've spoke about it too, where my history is anorexia when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been my battle my entire life in all different ways. But even now, for the first time in my life, I do work out a lot. I do watch what I eat. I do all that stuff. But I feel like this might be as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like I'm trying to achieve some insane goal. And this might just be it. I feel like sometimes there's just a natural spot for your body. And as much as I count my 1,200 calories and make sure I'm on it, I still always come back to the same spot.
Right.
And I almost at this point in my life think, as long as I'm healthy, I go to the doctor, my numbers are good, and I feel when I put on clothes, I feel comfortable and confident, then I'm good with it. I don't think I'm ever going to be back to the size zero.
Like, and that's one thing that I think as you get older, you start to let go of.
It's
good because it's...
There's
got to be a balance. Yeah,
yes.
There's got to be a balance there.
I do have a couple more things I did want to throw out there. Sometimes people that have made a huge impact on your life leave your life. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like sometimes they're there just for a period. Even if it's 25 years, sometimes they're there and then they move on. And
I got to work on that.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me.
And it's a lot easier said than done. But it's something I've realized that maybe as much as we try to hold on, you're just in a different spot than you were. And we talked about proximity a couple weeks ago. And same thing, maybe it's just proximity and lifestyle change. And you're just not going to be as close as you once were. I accept more But I still get really annoyed pretty quick when people, I think, just choose bad things or make bad choices when the answer is so obvious they almost do it on purpose. That still annoys me too quickly. And this is a big one. And I, you know, my family, they're so supportive. They do listen to our show every week. But I get exhausted because they rely on me so much for everything. But it's a flip for me because I like that they know that they can come to me because I'll get the S done. Mm-hmm. Like, I will get it done for them. It exhausts me, but I almost still enjoy being the one who gets everything done.
Sure, that makes sense. So you learn that you're okay with it then?
I think so. I think I have, I realize there are going to be times when they get on my nerves because they rely so much on me, but I also like that they know they can.
You probably learned too that if they didn't come to you, you'd almost be resentful or annoyed that they didn't. Right, exactly.
Yes. There's no winning for that. I'm a middle kid. I'm all over the place.
Exactly. Well, what about you guys? What's your takeaway from 2017 and what are you hoping to accomplish in 2018? You can let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj115.com. All right. So one of the things we talk a lot about on Forever 39 is weddings. And I'm sure some of you already have wedding invites for this year. So just like fashion, each year there are different wedding trends that are hot. So some of the things that I saw while researching this topic included that navy will be really big, formal weddings are in for 2018, and casual ones are out. And the guest experiences, we've talked about this before, like magicians and musical performers or fireworks, are going to be even bigger and better this year. But something that really piqued my interest comes from the Huffington Post. They talked to trend expert Anne Chertoff. She's from Wedding Wire. And she talks about wedding decor trends for this year that you might see if you go to a wedding. And I thought some of this was pretty interesting.
Right.
So I thought we could sort of just run down the list. So first thing is rustic is out, bohemian is in, which I like. It's kind of cool.
This cracked me up, though, I do have to say, because the article, I read the same article, and it said rustic aesthetics and floral features are out.
Right.
And then bohemian themes are, aren't they saying like the same thing with different words?
Maybe.
A little bit, I felt that. I'm like, well, so they're just saying whimsical instead of bohemian.
Right, right. So balloons that feature calligraphy is going to be really big. So maybe they'll have like a favorite saying on the balloons, like just married or love or whatever. Or of course, the initials of the bride and the groom.
That's a little different. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's a personal touch. The other thing is organic backdrop. So think like a wall of roses that people can stand in front of for pictures, or perhaps that backdrop can be used for when the couple is cutting the cake. I like that idea.
Me too. That
it's really
beautiful.
Natural. And then the other one that I think is kind of interesting is neon. And I mean neon. My mother would love this trend because my mom used to love everything neon. Aww. But so from neon table numbers to neon signs that feature the couple's special words or sayings, you might see some neon, which I feel like has no place at a wedding because I'm almost like, are we going clubbing or what are we doing
but
here?
But I think it has to fit the venue. It's going to be
totally
very hard to have a barn wedding with,
right, right, with neon signs. So well, I know you have some too.
I do. So ruffles everywhere. Ruffles on linens, even ruffles on the wedding cake, which I thought was really cool.
I can get into that.
Yeah, ruffles always wedding. They said even though bohemian is in, I thought this was interesting, very geometric shapes, like very geometric stark lines. For centerpieces or lighting fixtures. I thought that was kind of cool. And also, this is one of my favorite things, and it's a small thing, but I really like it. And I actually think I'm going to incorporate it in my wardrobe a little bit. Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Pieces of velvet, whether it be the groomsmen's jackets or maybe your bridesmaid's shoes or even within your flowers. I love the idea of velvet. I think that's such a nice touch, especially in these colder months here in Jersey.
I love
especially.
Velvet. I think there's just something about it. You just want to touch it.
I do want
yeah.
to touch
so
it.
So I could totally like see it would be really kind of sexy, I think, for the groom
yes.
to wear like a velvet jacket, especially if it was like a pop of color.
Yes, that's a
I
great
think that's
idea.
That's kind of hot.
I do too. Just little touches.
Well, what wedding trends are you most excited about seeing in 2018? Take our poll at nj115.com. All right, guys, that wraps up this episode of Forever 39. On next week's show, we're going to talk about parents paying their adult kids' bills, how to cure the winter blues, and we'll tell you what experts say a healthy relationship looks like. So I hope you guys can join us for that episode.